Bo has.
And now the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Here's Dan and Lowell picking up right where we left off. Go ahead, Dan.
All right, fellas. So hang with me here for a second. Tyler Seguin was back in town earlier this week. We all know sort of the rumblings around part of the reason why they had to trade him. Now, Felger, you were talking earlier about possible off-the-field issues for trading Garoppolo. Now, I know you just had Women's Hour, and we all know the ladies love Jimmy G. So hang with me here. Remember that photo from after the Seattle Super Bowl of Brady on the private plane with Ben Affleck's nanny wearing his 5 Super Bowl rings? What if Giselle gets pissed about that picture? Oh, Tom, how could you do this to me? And goes after Jimmy G.
Okay, Dan, can
Belichick
I just...
knows okay. and doesn't tell Tom.
Okay, so it's a love triangle. Please. All I'm saying is the trade of Garoppolo at that time was so nonsensical that I just wonder if there was a impetus behind the scenes that we haven't even considered. That there's just something there that said, well, we got to get rid of him now. Like Jamie Collins... You know, there's a story behind the story there. I don't know exactly what it is, but you hear rumblings about something actually kind of bad with him.
There was questions about Malcolm Butler, remember, at the beginning of the year.
Yes, but what I'm saying is the Jamie Collins thing was sudden, and it didn't make any sense, except, again, I've heard rumblings about things behind the scenes or off the field that were actually kind of ominous to the point where they said, well, this is a time bomb, and maybe it'll come out, maybe it won't, but what I heard was wrong. But I think there might have been something there on Collins that they said, you know, we got to get out of this. To me, that would be the only rationale with Garoppolo. Because if you keep him all year and trade him under the tag, you would get a second round pick, which is exactly what you got in October. So there's nothing to lose by just keeping him the rest of the year in case what happened this week happens, that Brady gets banged up. Unless they just felt they had to do it. And so what's that reason? Why did they have to do it? I'm just asking. I've heard nothing. I have no idea.
Do you believe there was an off-field issue with Garoppolo?
I have no idea.
I'm asking, do you believe?
I guess I have no reason to believe it other than it makes no sense what they did.
Yeah, I don't think that there was any issue with Garoppolo off the field. And if there were, I would say then, why'd you bring in James Harrison and Kenny Britt? So it's okay to have some guys with off-field issues, but other guys, no. Like, and the quarterback of the future is the guy you don't want?
So why do you think they did it when they did it?
Because I think it relates to Tom.
Yeah, his complaining. Why is he still here? I thought he was getting traded in the offseason. How come he's still here? I thought he was going to be traded in the offseason, and if I felt that, imagine how that guy felt.
I mean, look, I rule out nothing, but I don't. My gut tells me that's not it here. Belichick wanted to keep this player, and he couldn't.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's just Brady was bitching about it, and it got to the trade deadline, and Kraft said, well, it's the trade deadline. Let's show Tom some loyalty and let's do it. And you're right. That's probably what happened. Dave in the car. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I'm with Big Jim here. Just a little bit worried about the hand injury. I mean, especially looking at those pictures today, it clearly looked like he had a splint on that thumb underneath that glove. There's just the way he was holding in the hand looked all awkward and everything. So, I mean, that's the concern that I have going forward. I mean, granted, after listening to Marone there, that guy does sound like a complete clown, so maybe he would be all right. But as far as going forward, say they win this game and Brady's hand is pretty bad. I mean, does it affect the Super Bowl or anything like that? So I'm not really sure.
Sure, that's in that's in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, I'll worry about that later.
So that's a good amount of time for the thing to heal. Like we'll worry about that then. But see, my analysis of this week is largely about Jacksonville. I just don't think they have the team. I don't think they have the coaching. I don't think they are ready. And they're just a second-tier Ham and Egger team. They're just a Punch and Judy team. And they don't have what it takes to come in here and win. And so it's really all about them. I don't care if Brady's hurt or not hurt or playing or not playing. They're not going to beat you, even if it's Brian Hoyer. So this is why, again, I think the injury's probably real. But also the way things are going, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if this is a chapter in his reality show documentary on Facebook, Tom v. Time, and Tom wins again. You know, that's going to be the headline on Monday. Tom wins again.
Okay, reasons that Jacksonville will lose. Is number one Blake Bortles or is number one Doug Marone?
Marone.
Bortles. Bortles could have freaking Vince Lombardi as his coach and he's losing.
I'm more Bortles as a negative than Marone. Marone, just based on the record, has been successful.
Ish.
Here and
yeah,
Buffalo.
Ish is right.
26-24. I mean, let's not go crazy.
Considering the rest of the field, I mean, no, they got to consider him a pretty good coach.
To go 26-24 in Buffalo and Jacksonville, you're right. That's
not bad.
Not horrible.
No, not bad.
It's true.
I'm willing to give him a C as a coach. Bortles, F. He blows.
Rocco and Saugus. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, what's up? Listen, just quick on Alan Branch. Is there any news on Alan Branch?
He's been limited with the knee.
Oh, my God. We need him. But anyways, like, if I was like a Jacksonville fan, I mean, or a coach, make the Jacksonville defense watch the defense of the Super Bowl against Atlanta, man. Like, they stuffed the middle. They made Brady go outside. So if I was Jacksonville, I'd be like, I'll just take away the middle and let the linebackers, because I know the linebackers for the Jacksonville Jaguars got speed, and they're trying to throw any screens to James White, Deion Lewis, or Rex Burkhead. I mean, that's a battle they have to win. You know what I mean? But my whole thing was the reason why I called for Jalen Ramsey. I looked at some highlights in Jalen Ramsey. He kind of reminds me of Ed Reed. Doesn't have the playmaker ability, like, you know, take it back to the house, but his range, his length,
he's awesome.
Like a cornerback Ed Reed.
He's an awesome player. He's aggressive. He's cocky. He's got that corner thing. You know, he's got that swag, which I hate even bringing up, but I think it's important at that position. He's athletic. He's a great player. Great player. So he wipes out Brandon Cooks.
Hogan.
Yeah, so he's wiping out a player that's not going to be a big factor anyway. I think he's sort of misplaced. If you told me they had a great safety, if they had Earl Thomas or Chancellor or Barry, there's only a few guys, but someone who could match up with Gronk, I'd say, okay, that's a better matchup. So they have good outside corners. All right, take out our receivers. Big deal.
See, that's why I wouldn't put Ramsey on the outside if I were them in this game. Or on a receiver, is what I should say. I'd put him on Gronk. Try it out. See what it looks like. You going to waste Jalen Ramsey on freaking Brandon Cooks or Chris Hogan?
Jerry on the Cape. Hi, Jerry.
Yes, calling because I think that Murray's onto it. But we have a new series called The Hand. You know, it's not because the hand may or may not be damaged. It's because it creates a psychological influence for that defensive line of Jacksonville. I think feed them only bologna and cheese now for the next 3 days, and they're going to be so pissed off when it comes to the game that they're going to push through and they're going to push Brady, and he won't be completing those short passes because the linebackers are going to stay in their place.
Okay, Jerry, you kind of hold it. Yeah. Get your own show. I don't think they're playing games. I think if Tom Brady wore two red gloves, hold him out of two straight practices, have him skip two straight league-mandated media sessions just to make something up to get a psychological edge on the Jaguars. Do they need to do that against the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No.
Would you stop? Look, he banged his hand.
Yeah, something happened there. Again, I don't doubt that something happened. I just think that Brady can play through it and they still win with the injury.
Are you ready to pick Jacksonville, Murray? Big Jim worry?
I'm getting there.
You are, aren't you?
Until someone tells me he's throwing the football correctly and it looks good, yeah, I'm
so you're not
going
to be convinced until you see him on Sunday in the first quarter.
Yeah,
just put him in the shotgun, get rid of the ball fast. He's fine.
Nate in Danvers, go.
Yeah, I guess I'm Jim Worry's evil twin because what it looks like under the glove doesn't look like much. One of the most common hand injuries to the thumb is, they call it skier's thumb. It's when you extend the thumb far away from the index finger, and they usually put a big chunky brace that you would definitely notice. It just looks like he probably banged, you know, the palm of his hand. It's a little swollen. They put a little padding in there. That's it. And, I mean, with Blake Bortles, what did he have, 14 more completions than I did last Sunday? I'm not really worried.
Okay. Blake Bortles isn't going to beat you. It starts with their defense. And then if their defense can hold you in the teens, can Jacksonville between, you know, whatever. Defensive scores, special teams plays, short fields, fluky plays, get to 20. Bortles is not, you know, even though Bortles put up a big day last week, he's not doing it this week. The Pats are not going to play defense the way Pittsburgh stupidly played defense.
They're just not going to give him that much space. Pittsburgh gave him so much space. God, I could have thrown those passes. You could have. Murray could have. Jimmy Stewart, Billy, we all could have. There was so much space there.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
It's not a big deal at all. It's a waste of time. It's a bogus story, as far as I'm concerned. And was that was that Tom Brady walking around a little slinky? Was that Tom Brady that I saw at practice? Oh my Lord, he can't throw the football on this particular Wednesday. I mean, look, stop the presses. Something's wrong with Tom Brady. Listen, if Tom Brady ends up getting spanked by the Jacksonville Jaguars, it won't be the first time he's gotten spanked in the playoffs at Foxborough. I believe the Baltimore Ravens did it twice. I believe it was because of an elite defense. And I don't recall Tom Brady being hurt then. I don't want to hear anything about that nonsense now. He's just fine. I'm supposed to believe that one of the all-time greats, okay, who just passed before for 4,500 yards this year, by the way, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, who's going to win MVP, if I'm telling you, I think he's going to win the league MVP this year. I'm supposed to believe that that guy with a Super Bowl championship, a Super Bowl berth on the line, got hurt handing the ball off to a running back. Really?
You don't believe it?
I don't believe it for one second. I think it's a story. It's bogus.
I got something
I'm
for
not
you.
Even concerned.
I don't think the story's totally bogus.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think his hand's banged up. Yes.
I think Stephen A. seems to think the whole thing is a fabrication. And I'm not sure I believe that. I think he probably did. He whacked it on a helmet or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think he can play with it because he plays with everything.
Agreed.
They wouldn't be pushing off the league-mandated press conferences.
Oh, that's no sweat for them. They're happy to do that. But, I mean, I agree. It's different than, I'm sorry to jump in, Murray, but just Brady has done this a lot this year where he misses practice on Wednesday, pushes off his media availability to the end of the week because he's with Alex or with his person, you know. And that's happened. This is a little different in that these are not team press conferences. These are league press conferences. These are mandated sort of things. And so it's a little different that he's pushing these off. I'll grant you that.
But, of course, the counter to this is that, well, they hate the NFL because the NFL's always been out to get them. And screw the NFL. They can do what I want. Hashtag fake news. I get it. No, it's real. He's hurt, and I'm freaked out.
I did find it interesting just quickly yesterday that the initial reports that came out said he is, you know, was meeting with team medical staff.
Right.
Just making it clear that it was team medical.
Oh, I love
Alex.
It, Maz. I love it. Like, I love it.
I mean, you know, to me, that's what that was.
Oh, well, just talk. Where does he go?
Right. Like, to me, that was that he's meeting with team. Oh, okay, right. We got to make
Alex.
Sure. Right. We got to make sure we don't say he's meeting with, you know, or he's being evaluated, or we're going to make it clear he's being looked at by the team people. That's how I took that yesterday.
I like it. I like it. It brings that whole thing right in there. Yeah, I'm sure he wants Alex around to give it a good rub. He must. So I hope Bill's let Alex around this week. Here's speaking of Alex, he's in Gloucester. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, thanks. So I've been feeling fine about this whole injury, the game, confident that we're going to win. And then big, dumb, stupid Jim Murray lays out his worst-case scenario, and now I'm ready to throw myself into oncoming traffic. I haven't been this scared to lose a game since the second Super Bowl against the Giants.
Are you being serious or sarcastic?
Sarcastic.
No, there you go.
But no, I'm still freaking out, though. I mean, I was feeling fine, and then you realize the potential disaster if we do lose this game over trading Garoppolo and then having to play Hoyer if Brady is in fact hurt.
Oh, no, but you're sarcastic about the throwing yourself into traffic. You think all those other ramifications are possible?
Yes.
My man.
Alex, my man.
Well, I think it does drive home, you know, for Bill to...
So if Brian Hoyer has to come into this game, if Brady's hurt, if Brian Hoyer ends up playing like he did against the Chiefs in the wild card game 2 years ago and he throws four picks, you have no chance. Okay. If it's that, you don't think Belichick's standing on the sideline going, oh my God, I can't believe he forced me to trade the kid that I actually thought was going to be the next guy after him who can help me win this game.
Murray, I'm telling you he's doing it now on the practice field. I bet you Bill's bugged that he has to look at Brian Hoyer on the practice field.
Yeah, I'm with that.
No question.
That Bill's sitting here on the Wednesday and Thursday before an AFC Championship game and is in his head saying, see, Robert, this is what we got. This is what we could have the other kid in here and we wouldn't know the difference, which Bill has said before. Bill has said on the record that when Garoppolo's in there, you can't tell the difference, or something along those lines. I would say quote unquote, but he had a quote like that. And now he's watching Brian Hoyer, and you know somewhere in the back of Bill's head, he's saying, see?
Well, he said it himself the day they announced the deal. We've had the best quarterback situation in the league. I mean, how could you possibly be set up any better than the Patriots were set up? Which is, look, and this is sort of tangentially related. All this commentary in the last week about how they got Brian Hoyer back in the deal and, like, this idea that somehow Brian Hoyer was an asset and part of the deal. Like, to me, it's crazy. It's absolutely freaking crazy. Brian Hoyer, really? You made that deal so you could get Brian Hoyer? Like, have we gone to that level of stupidity around here? Have we really done that?
Yes, to excuse a Patriots mistake, we will stop at no end.
He knows the system, Mez. What the hell's wrong with you? Hoyer can get it done. Hoyer can get it done. Bill knows what he's doing there.
He stinks.
He can get it done against this team.
Good luck.
He can get it done against this team.
Nervous-ass Brian Hoyer. Who should I throw it to? Oh, Gronk's picked off. Not in that not with that pass rush. No, absolutely not.
Joe in Nashville. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. In the I guess, world of mediocre quarterbacks, where would you honestly rank Blake Bortles? Would it be more along the lines of, like, Dalton, Tannehill, Tyrod Taylor?
Lower.
Let me stop. Would you rather have Tyrod Taylor or Blake Bortles?
Tyrod Taylor.
You would?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Would you rather have Andy Dalton?
Yep.
Ugh,
and who's the other guy you said?
Tannehill, yep.
Tannehill.
Yep.
I think he's in that. I think he's in that group, Joe. I don't think he's lower.
And then with, but like the guys like that have made a career off of small sample size starts who get these big, like Matt Flynn, who made a career out of one start, Brock Osweiler, Mike Glennon. So, well, you know, I find him in like an in-between those two categories.
So I think he's better than Osweiler because I think Osweiler is just one half step above Tebow in terms of throwing the football, and he can't throw. But he's bad. I mean, make no mistake, he's bad.
He's 20th in the league in passer rating. 20th. And he didn't throw a lot.
What's his completion percentage?
60.2, which in this day and age is low.
Doug Marrone, this is one I left out before. We're going over some fun Doug Marrone comments because this guy, I just don't think is, I don't think he's got what it takes to come in here and win. And we'll play some more here coming up, including one comment you can't miss. He was also asked yesterday about how important a franchise quarterback is, Jimmy. Can you pull up that one? This is the one we skipped. So he was asked about, you know, how important is it to have a franchise quarterback?
This ought to be good.
I have no idea. I played with small quarterbacks, big quarterbacks, everything. I you know, I was a college coach. You know, you got to play with them all. You know, you just got to play with the best one. That's a better question probably for Tom and Dave. They're more of the personnel guys. You know, I'm more of just the football.
I don't know what they're supposed to look like. As he blasts out a fart. I'm telling you,
more just a football.
The more I hear him, I do find him funny, but man, he's a boob. This is the type of guy that definitely drops a giant one and then runs into the room and says, "Guys, you got to see this." He looks just like that. It sounds like it. You'll never believe the size of this. Come in here.
A nonsensical answer about I don't have exactly what the question was, but the transcript said something about, do you need a franchise quarterback? And he starts rambling about big quarterbacks, small quarterbacks. I was like,
I have no idea.
Well, you know why he won't answer that one?
Because his quarterback sucks.
Exactly. Because he knows his quarterback blows. Again, this goes back to that question he was asked way back when. What's the ideal number of throws for Bortles in a game? And his answer was zero. Zero. He doesn't have any confidence in this guy. And I can't say I blame him, which is why ultimately I say number one on the list of reasons that the Jaguars will lose, Blake Bortles. Number two, Doug Marrone.
To me, I just flip them because I think a good coach can coach around and coach up a bad player or coach around a bad player, even a quarterback. It's hard to do, but you can certainly manage a quarterback if you have a clue as a coach. Again, I think Marrone does not have the attention to detail, the command to do this. I'll give you another example. He was asked, Jimmy Fulthorn, about the red zone. He's asked yesterday, this is Wednesday, he's asked yesterday about the Patriots' red zone defense, which, again, I think is one of the most crucial parts of the Patriots, is their bend-but-don't-break defense, but in the red zone, they're excellent, and the closer they get to their end line, the more they stiffen, and they hold you to field goals and not touchdowns. And if you can break through that, you have a real chance to beat them. Like, it's a huge part of how the Patriots play, and it's really important, their red zone defense. So he's asked about the Patriots' red zone defense on Wednesday, and this is what he says.
What stands out to you about the Patriots' red zone defense?
What about
them? What stands out to you about them when you're sunning them up?
I'm not on red zone yet. I'm not. Yeah, come on, Thursday. You can ask me that question Thursday.
He's not onto the red zone yet. It's Wednesday.
I mean, I will say that answer is alarming.
Scary.
It's like, so you don't know anything about, you're just treating this like another regular season game against the Colts?
Exactly.
Don't ask me to watch tape. It's a pain in the ass. I'll get to it, but I'm not on that yet.
But it's like, so, I mean, Maz hit on it, though. It's like, during the regular season, he's got a schedule that he does this on this day, that on that day. And when you get to Thursday, you do the red zone work, and that's
speed
when you study
it.
And so he's asked on Wednesday of the AFC Championship game against the Patriots about the red zone. He says that's tomorrow.
I mean,
what?
You know, I'll tell you, I don't know. And look, I'm stretching. Okay, I admit, I'm stretching. Maybe this is a good thing because he does sound like a dope.
Maz doesn't care about this next one I'm going to play, but I do.
So when I say maybe it's a good thing, because maybe it means that Tom Coughlin's actually doing all the work behind the scenes, because somebody's doing it.
If it's up to this guy, I this is why I don't like Jacksonville's chances. I don't think they have the coach.
Comes into the locker room. Hey, Calais, pull my finger.
No, well, how about this? Okay, so here's another total reasonable question. Have you looked at the Patriots' they're talking about Coughlin. Have you studied what Tom did against the Patriots in those Super Bowl losses?
Your memory of those two Super Bowls, what stands out for you most when you see the way that that Tom's team was able to prevail against Bill on the big stage?
I haven't watched them. Seriously.
Really?
If I'm not in it, I don't usually
watch it
I don't. If I'm not in the Super Bowl, I usually don't watch it.
Doug, sticking with Tom, though.
Unless I have to. I'm sorry. But David Tyree made a great catch. He's a Syracuse guy.
So, I mean, and again, Maz disagrees with me on this, but I just, if you're trying to beat the Patriots, I go back to every game they've lost or any game where defense had success against them and just look. But to be so cavalier, nah, if I ain't in the Super Bowl, I don't watch it. I don't think he's ever been in a Super Bowl.
No, he hasn't.
In any capacity. Do you have his...
The only NFL staffs he's ever been on are Buffalo and Jacksonville. I looked it up a little while ago.
No, he was a Saints offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one, too. It was tight ends.
He was a Saints OC from 06 to 08. Was that they were in the Super Bowl in 09, weren't they?
Correct, yeah.
So he wasn't there. So he's never been in a Super Bowl. So, but to be so like, nah, I don't watch that. It's a game the Patriots lost and they got out-schemed, and don't you want to take a look? Nah. I'm sorry. Maybe if this Jacksonville team had a different coach, I'd give them more of a chance. But I don't care if Brady's hand has been amputated. The Jacksonville's not coming in here and winning this.
Yeah, that's a Syracuse thing. Yeah, you know, one time I partied at Syracuse when I was a coach there. Yeah, hey, every guy. You guys ever been to a keg party? Pull my finger. You want to see the dump I just put in the toilet there? Like, he's this guy.
Doug Marone.
Pull my finger. You fell for it.
This guy is a ham and egger.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I'm exhausted right now. Yeah, I'm shot. Like, I'm shot. You know, I always say the story is that, you know, when I first came up and I was an offensive line coach, I'm just living each play with those five players. You know what I mean? You know, if a receiver was to drop a ball, I'm focusing on those five. And then when you're the offensive coordinator, you're living with 11 guys out there, okay? And that's it. So I'll never forget my first time as a head coach. After the game was over, I said, holy cow, I'm exhausted. Twice as exhausted as, you know, when I was a coordinator or a position coach. And I said, well, you know, I'm going through every damn play, offense, defense, and special teams. I'm living and dying, you know, in every single play, you know, with every call that we have. And that sponsor. But every play and call I have, you know what I mean? And so after the game's over, I am shot. I can tell you right now, I'm going to go in, I'm going to take a shower. We'll have the medical report later on, okay? I'm going to take the shower, all right? I'll call my wife, meet me at home, pick up some bologna and cheese. I'm going to go out the back way, all right? I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to listen to some music. Don't listen to the NFL. Don't listen to scores or anything like that. Go home, pet my dogs because we won. All right? And then I'm just going to... Yeah, it's not as fun as, you know, it's not like, woohoo, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know?
Could barely handle that, Murray. Could barely handle that. And he's got what it takes to figure out how to beat Bill Belichick at Gillette Stadium?
Just
got to
go home, take a shower, and have my bologna and cheese. Oh, I'm gassed.
Tell you, Murray, I think you said earlier, he reminds you a little of Rex. Rex Ryan?
Oh, no, I didn't say it, but that's a good comparison.
There is a little Rex. Was that you?
No.
There's a little Rexy in there.
You know, again, he's like, it was the offensive line. It was just those five guys. The next thing you know, it was the offense. It was the offensive coordinator. It's like, that's 11. Like, woof. And now I'm the head coach. It's like every play I got to pay attention to, man. I'm telling you, that is, whew, I don't know how you do it. I need some bologna. Like, good God. He is like, I got to pay attention to offense, defense, and special teams now. Like, wow. I'm not, this isn't fun. How is he going to, he can barely keep it together just coaching a regular season game. This is just too much. I got to pay attention to all 22 guys now. The only thing he said that was smart is he listens to music on the way home without sports. That's the one smart thing I've heard you say. A lot of guys could use that advice, Doug. Listen to music if you can't take it.
It is funny, though. Like, I'm sweating just thinking about it.
God. Well, that's just coach offensive line. It was five guys. A guy drops a pass. What do I care? Now it's like, God, I got to pay attention to all that stuff.
He is a boob. There's two ways about that. He's a boob. That guy sweats in his sleep.
The King Boob comment, though, comes your way right now. This is from his days with the Buffalo Bills. You just have to listen to this full cut to appreciate this, and it really needs no setup. This is Doug Marrone as head coach.
It's a keeper. It's a keeper.
It's really an all-timer. This is Doug Marrone as head coach of the Buffalo Bills, searching for a word.
But when you make a point of something, and coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it, when that first opportunity comes and you're not able to prevail on that opportunity, then you know what? Then we have to go back out there and go about our business again, maybe with greater desire, greater sense of I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word.
No, not that one.
Hold on. I'll come up with it.
Give me a second.
Just more of a urgency is the word I'm looking for. A greater sense of urgency.
Oh my God, that is priceless. Jimmy, could you play the very beginning of it again?
He's all over the place.
No. But go ahead, play it, Jimmy. Play it.
But when you make a point of something, and coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it.
Stop.
I didn't pick up on that the first time.
And coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it. Go,
but when you make a point of something, and coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it.
Keep playing it. Keep going.
When that first opportunity comes and you're not able to prevail on that opportunity, then you know what? Then we have to go back out there and go about our business again, maybe with greater desire, greater sense of I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word.
Detail?
Hold on. I'll come up with it.
Give me a second, yeah.
Just more of a urgency.
I'm telling you, there's a tinge of disgust in that reporter's sound, to the way that he says urgency. You know, this is a writer, someone who went to school.
Urgency?
Likely majored in English. Just hearing this, he's dealing with this rockhead coach.
Like urgency, coach.
Urgency.
Urgency.
No, that wouldn't be the word.
No.
Hold on, I'll come up with it.
No, it's not. Hold on a second, I'll get it.
Just more of a urgency.
Yeah, that's the word.
Don't you try to tell me what word I'm looking for, college boy. I'll come up with it.
Urgency.
There it is.
Maybe he's looking for detail, greater sense of detail.
Look, urgency.
So there's smart, and there's football smart. He could be football smart and just, you know, the way he carries himself, whatever. But you just listen to that and you see like
urgency.
Like, listen, last year when I first started to dig into Dan Quinn, I know I never listened to Dan Quinn press conference or whatever, the coach of the Falcons. You don't know who I'm talking about. And I started to listen. I'm like, well, there's Tell the Truth Monday and Ball Security Wednesday. And I'm listening to the cadence and the heavy rhythm. Like, well, that's Pete, man. He sounds just like Pete Carroll. I watch out for this guy because that doesn't sound right. And sure enough, he sharted all over that field there in Houston last year and blew that Super Bowl. And I listen to this guy. I'm like, he doesn't. You can't. Even if Tom Brady's hurt, man, you got to come in here and you got to have a plan. You got to know what you're doing. You got to be detail oriented. You got to be on it. You've got to be on it. You can't put off the red zone stuff until Thursday. You've got to get to it now and know it and then go back over it every day.
Urgency.
Know? Like, I just.
Hey, look, listen to those cuts. I don't know how you come away thinking he's anything but a clown.
But when you make a point of something and coaches make a point of it and coaches make a point of it.
In case you didn't hear me the first time, I just wanted to repeat that. Didn't they go for it on fourth down more than any team in the league or something like that this year?
I don't know that stat. They might have.
So I think
I mean, they did early in Pittsburgh. That was a big ballsy call. That was a good call.
Okay, so that's what I mean is apparently there are little indicators with him that maybe he does sort of get it at what it would take to win a game in certain places. I also think they had like, didn't they have like a bunch of trick plays that they ran or something like that in certain games on the road?
Yeah, I think, yes, yes. They had a fake punt in this Charger game where he wanted the bologna sandwich. I think they ran a fake punt in that game.
So I don't know. Like on the one hand, I look at that and say maybe there is a little bit of a clue. Maybe he comes into a game like this and says, we can't beat these guys straight up. We play it straight up, we're going to lose. So we're going to have to do something extraordinary. But, man, the comments? Oof. What a boob. He is a boob. He is a lovable boob, but he's a boob.
All right, here's our buddy Matthew in Framingham. Hi, Matt. What do you got for us today?
Oh, Mike, I know exactly what you mean. I had no idea Marone was such a meatball. Seriously. But, you know, I was listening to you last night, Mike, and you were kind of playing off the hand thing. But then I heard you, Murray, and, you know, I do also put stock on what you say. And I'm getting a little bit more worried, but more so worried than, you know, I bet on the spread before the injury. Worried. I don't think they're going to lose the game. I do think it's going to be a time, whoever wins time possession game, their safeties might take a couple steps in with that hand. The corners might press a little more. You know, I'm wondering, is Alan Branch, is he going to play? How's that looking?
He's limited again. He was limited again on the injury report.
I think that's going to be very important for us. I think it's going to be one of those games, and you're finally going to get your good game, Maz.
Matthew, what happened to the line? What happened to the line? Has it stayed at 9, 9.5, 10? Where is it?
I think it went to 8.5.
So it did.
8.5 now.
Yeah, so
last I've seen. But, you know, I don't feel as good about my bet, but I think it's going to be a good game. And I think in the end, Brady is going to win with the ball in his hand, and Bortles, he can't get it done. It's just not going to happen.
Okay, Matthew. So the line did reflect injury.
And I saw Dan the Angry Call Screener, who's on a lot of this stuff, said that he tweeted that some books are down to 7.
Hmm. So that's I do pay attention to that. Look, I think the injury's real. I just think the story at the end of the day, I'll say it again, is going to be Brady v. Time, and Brady wins again. Like, I just think that's what's happening. That's where we are.
Or Bill is pissed and Bill walks.
That's the other side.
No, it's becoming a better bet for the Patriots. I'm thinking about putting more on the game.
TJ in Bridgewater. Hi, TJ.
Hey, guys. I just want to be real quick, but just bear with me a moment. So Belichick loved Jimmy G, and he wanted to keep him. God knows I wish he was still on the team. But he wasn't going to be able to keep him. Because if he did franchise tag him for next year, he can't use that tag again, so he's going to franchise him,
sure can.
Trade him.
You can use it twice.
You can use it 2 years in a row. They did it with Kirk Cousins recently.
But ultimately what it is you're not going to be able to keep Jimmy for that year, trade him if they decide to trade him next year, and you reuse that tag. Butler almost walked
last
year, which you still had him. So they traded him.
So let me tell you something.
That second round pick.
TJ, can I just cut you off?
Go ahead.
They don't want to franchise anyone. They're not franchising anyone. They don't think the franchise tag's a good value. When's the last time they did it? And the times they have done it, it's been on the kicker most of the time. Or to Bucky Jones, a safety. Did they do it with Wes Welker one year?
They did it with Welker, and didn't they do it with Samuel 1 year?
But they did it with Samuel in 07. And then I think Welker might have been the last.
They did it with Wes once.
In 10 or 11, whatever year that was? 12? Whatever year they did it with Welker, I think they hated it. They were pissed. They were pissed that Welker signed it and didn't come to terms on a better deal.
Right.
He just took the tag. And I'm not sure if they've done it since then. They've had chances to tag Hightower, Jones. I mean, they've had a chance to tag all the... I don't think... So that part of it, I don't think they're saving the tag for anyone unless another kicker comes along that they want to tag or a low-salaried position. I think that's immaterial. I think the whole point of the tag was to trade him under it. That's the only way you can trade Jimmy Garoppolo is to tag him temporarily. You don't pay him anything. And then you trade him out from underneath the tag. It's what they did for Matt Castle, in which they got the 38th pick. They got a higher pick for Matt Castle than Jimmy Garoppolo. Tell me how that equates. How does that make any sense?
Was it 38?
Or was it 36?
I thought it was like 34.
I might have been too high. Either way, it was in the 30s. And Garoppolo's pick's going to be 40 or 41, depending on a coin flip. So, again, it's a legit second guess. Why not just extend that security blanket? Because you weren't going to get any more, any less, if you traded him in this offseason. Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. The only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So we have two cases of when hosts aren't listening.
Damn.
Final word here today.
Did I get nabbed?
Well, we'll start with you, Mike.
Ah!
That's a quickie.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
And with everything else going on behind the scenes with this team the last couple of months, which is all true, by the way. Yeah, ESPN lies. All true. Most things in life, when they end badly. So if he's hurt and they lose to Jacksonville, isn't that the worst possible way for this to end? And then maybe Bill walks away there. I can just see it.
Murray says, how would that be, you know, what a story that would be. That you trade Garoppolo, and he gets hurt, and you lose to Jacksonville at home in the AFC Championship game.
And then Bill walks, Murray said.
Oh, I missed that part. I'm sorry. When hosts aren't listening, you added that on.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be a, wow.
This has been to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
It does, yeah. It ramps it up, right? It does. Takes it to another level, Mark.
Well, that wasn't that bad, though, because you didn't repeat it.
Well, I acknowledged that I wasn't listening.
Yeah, that one's a misdemeanor, not a felony.
Okay, I think
Maz was guilty of the felony while I was going off on my lunacy earlier today, being nervous about Brady's hand injury in this game coming up on Sunday.
Shocker.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Danny in Linfield, hi.
Yeah, I saw Hoyer pass for 350 yards earlier this year against the Rams. He took Houston to the playoffs. He even had Cleveland with a winning record when he was the starting quarterback. People make Hoyer out to be this bum quarterback, but he's a legitimate NFL. I mean, he's a great backup. The reason they traded Garoppolo to San Fran was to get Hoyer back. They traded him to another team.
Dan, hold on. Maz is shaking his head in disgust. What?
No, so this was, again, part of the plan. You wanted Hoyer.
Yeah. That's why he went to San Francisco, to get the high draft pick and to get Hoyer, who can run the offense.
He's trash. He's trash.
No,
do you know what his...
Not.
Yes, he is. What were his numbers against the Chiefs in that wild card game?
This year.
15 to 34. Four interceptions. Four. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Against
they
the
got
Rams,
there because of that defense.
Yep. 330 yards and two touchdowns.
He
Mark.
Sucks.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Brian Hoyer, postseason, 15 for 34. 44%. No touchdowns. Four. Count them. Four. Picks. Four. Picks. His rating, 15.9.
New detail.
Quarterback rating of 15.9 for Brian Hoyer. 15.9.
This has been how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
You're listening to Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.